From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Friday, December 8th, and here are today's headlines. A statewide panel voted Wednesday to revoke Franklin County Sheriff John Grismore's law enforcement certification. The Vermont Criminal Justice Council determined, after a two-day hearing, that Grismore used excessive force when he kicked a handcuffed and shackled man. Grismore told reporters after the hearing he does not plan to resign, and according to Vermont law, sheriffs do not need to be certified police officers to hold office. Chittenden County Sheriff Dan Gamlin would not say if he thought Grismore should resign, but he says it would be easier if Grismore stepped down.
I mean, he can't wear the uniform. He can't wear the badge. He can't enforce any laws. So I would say that it would be difficult to run a department if you have no law enforcement credentials.
Grismore is also facing a criminal simple assault charge and a legislative impeachment inquiry. JetBlue expects to reinstate its route between Burlington and JFK Airport in New York City. That according to a news release from Senator Bernie Sanders' office, which says JetBlue's CEO met with Sanders, Senator Peter Welch, and representatives for Congresswoman Becca Ballant on Wednesday. Welch said the meeting was productive, but time will tell if JetBlue follows through. Due to a shortage of air traffic controllers, the Federal Aviation Administration granted waivers allowing airlines to suspend routes without losing their time slots to take off or land at airports. That's how Burlington lost JetBlue's flight to JFK. The waiver is slated to expire next fall. Senator Peter Welch says he's hopeful Congress will soon pass a bill that includes more aid for Ukraine and Israel, along with provisions to strengthen security along the Mexican border. Senate Republicans have vowed to oppose the legislation unless it includes stricter border security measures, but some Democrats argue the GOP proposals are too restrictive. Welch says Democrats need to be more flexible in seeking a compromise. He says the border is not just an item on the GOP political agenda, but a legitimate focal point.
There's a meritorious issue here. How do we secure our border? And there's a lot of us on the Democratic side who are willing to work towards a resolution.
Welch says he also wants the Senate bill to ensure additional funds for Israel are not used to endanger Palestinian civilians in Gaza. Montreal Mayor Valerie Plante will reduce her workload over the coming days after collapsing during a morning news conference earlier this week. The mayor was standing at a lectern Tuesday, answering questions from reporters when she abruptly crouched and sat down. Plante posted on social media that she was examined by a medical team and is doing well. As a preventative measure, she plans on slowing the pace of her activities in the near future. Coming up, after an inspection of his property in Paulet, a second arrest warrant is issued for Daniel Bonnier. The details after this. The organizer of a paramilitary training facility in Paulet is once again facing an arrest warrant. Earlier this week, a judge ruled that Daniel Bonnier's property, Slate Ridge, remains non-compliant with court orders following an inspection of the property last week. This is the latest development in a years-long saga involving confrontations with neighbors and ongoing legal battles. To learn more, my colleague Jen Jarecki sat down to talk with Michael Albans, who covers the story for the Bennington Banner.
Can you start by telling us about this reordered arrest warrant for Daniel Bonnier?
So the township, through Merrill Bent, who is representing the town, filed a motion to reinstate an arrest warrant that was issued in July and that had expired. And the judge initially held off because the case is now in the hands of the Supreme Court for an appeal on certain issues in the case. It's also being appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, Second Circuit. But the appeals court gave jurisdiction back to the environmental judge, Thomas Durkin, to do as it needed to see that either this arrest warrant is forthcoming or that they can still continue the fines as they see and use their discretion. So the motion was then granted recently after this recent inspection on the 27th. And as it stands right now, he has not been arrested, but it is in full force. And they also added many different conditions, because if you recall, the first arrest warrant had an expiration date. It does not have one now until the property is in compliance. And it also directs specifically the Rutland County Sheriff and the Vermont State Police to enter the property and to report to the town in written form what the progress is if they have not arrested him. It also asks any law enforcement to make the arrest as well. So they've kind of stepped it up at this point.
I understand it also requires Daniel Bonnier to turn himself in to the Department of Corrections by December 22nd. Was that in the original version?
That was not. They gave that as an option, but now it's giving a date and it's saying exactly where he needs to turn himself in, which would be the Marble Valley Regional Correctional Center in Rutland.
So what work needs to be done to bring Slate Ridge into compliance?
The biggest thing I noticed is there were two firing ranges still in existence. Now, some of the structures and the stands were all removed and it was grassed over. However, the berms, the earthen berms that surround those areas, imagine a 4 to 6 foot berm around the perimeter, are still there. And I believe that that was part of the order which needed to be removed and flattened to match the rest of the area. And that has not been done. And I imagine that would take a lot of effort to do.
Michael, you were one of a small group of people allowed at this inspection. What was that like? Can you describe the scene for us?
It was really interesting because I had no idea I was going to be allowed on. I had reached out to Mr. Kaplan to see if I could come, and I believe his answer was less than 0.1% chance of doing that. But I showed up at the gate. There were numerous members of the town, three people that were going to inspect. There was a couple of other news organizations, and we were just outside. It was a cold, damp morning. Mr. Bonnier walked down and there was some negotiation on a last minute motion because there were some people that were on the property that the township was a little nervous about. So they were asked to leave. And I watched both Merrill Bent, Robert Kaplan, and Mr. Bonnier looking at me and pointing. And all of a sudden, Merrill Bent came over and asked if I would like to join them as a witness because Mr. Bonnier had numerous television and video and still cameras that were documenting this. I believe he's making some kind of documentary in the long run of what happens here. So they asked me to come on, and I immediately was confronted by Mr. Bonnier, who got in my face a little bit about our past coverage and what he took exception to. But I also said that part of his objections were that no one was ever telling his side of the story. And I said, we have reached out to him numerous times to get comment on stuff, and he never answered us. But eventually he started answering us, and then he turned around and kind of changed and said, okay, maybe we can talk later. And I took him up on that after the inspection.
Both Merrill Bent, whom you've mentioned, the Paulette town attorney, and Robert Kaplan, Daniel Bonnier's attorney, both hinted at feelings of relief immediately following the inspection. Do you think either side even wants to be taking part in this ongoing legal battle?
At least in the beginning, that I think that they didn't realize it was going to come this far. Mr. Bonnier said to me that he's lost a lot here. He's lost his occupation. He was supposed to have this training facility that he felt really strongly about. And on Merrill's side, I've spoke to neighbors, and there's a lot of fear. People are, you know, putting in security devices in their houses, and they've lost that sense of quiet, rural Vermont security that we all cherish and love.
What is on your radar as you continue to cover the issues surrounding Slate Ridge?
I do think that he is at some point going to be arrested or turn himself in. I think that we're looking for that in the next couple of weeks. And I think that if Mr. Bonnier wants to indeed turn this into his organic farm and live his life and be able to shoot some guns once in a while, that would be fine. However, I don't think it's ever going to be the kind of facility that he envisioned. And I think he knows that. And as far as the town goes and neighbors, I think they just want to get back to a place where they're not hearing explosions and gunfire all weekend and get back to normal and save some face, honestly, with this has been a long road for them, too. I can't even imagine all the motions and all the legal maneuvers that's been happening, but on both sides. This is a small town you're talking about, and they never had the resources to do this kind of thing, especially to the point where it's gotten to now. So I think all sides might be okay with this going away at some point. And that's why I think once he's in custody, he realizes that he's got really no more options save for a U.S. Supreme Court decision, which I don't think would go well. I think that this is going to settle. But, you know, there's always that outside chance that he digs in and they're going to have to go get him. So if that happens, unfortunately, that's going to be the main part of what people take away from this.
That was Bennington Banner reporter Michael Albans speaking with host Jen Jarecki about the latest information on Daniel Bonnier's arrest warrant. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors, Adia Gulston, Bob Kinzel, and Nathaniel Wilson. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you Monday.